This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
She's a monster. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, September 12. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
With threats of catastrophic flooding and the potential loss of electricity for weeks, officials in the Carolinas and Virginia are bracing for the arrival of Hurricane Florence.
In discussing preparations for the Category 4 storm, President Trump says his administration's response to Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico last year was a, quote, unsung success.
Ceremonies in New York, Pennsylvania, and the Pentagon mark the 17th anniversary of the terror attacks of 9/11.
And the financial steps you should be taking ahead of a natural disaster like Hurricane Florence.
It's very clear that these hurricanes, as we all know, wreck a lot of havoc. But the average hurricane is $1.8 billion in damage. And this one appears to be above average. So it's time to really get our acts together.
Finance expert Dave Hanley, CEO of an app called Tomorrow, has advice in about 20 minutes. Hurricane Florence, gaining strength by the day, is offering deadly pounding surf, days of torrential rain and severe flooding with a direct hit on North Carolina. As she churns closer to shore, fierce winds and massive waves are expected to announce her arrival along the coasts of North and South Carolina and Virginia, even before landfall early Friday. North Carolina Governor Roy Moore said the Category 4 storm is a monster, and you don't bet your life on riding out a monster.
If you wait until conditions get bad, it may be too late to get out safely, and you also put first responders at risk. Driving on flooded roads can also be deadly.
Storm surge could be as much as 13 feet with catastrophic flooding if the storm stalls once it gets inland. To help with evacuations, South Carolina officials reversed the flow of traffic on some highways, so all major roads led away from shore. In addressing U.S. readiness for Hurricane Florence, President Trump yesterday praised the federal response to Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico last year, calling it an unsung success.
I actually think it was one of the best jobs that's ever been done with respect to what this is all about. Puerto Rico got hit not with one hurricane, but with two.
The governor of Puerto Rico recently revised the death toll as a result of that storm from 64 people to 2,975, and many residents were without power for months. The president spoke yesterday as he met with top officials about preparedness for Florence.
They haven't seen anything like what's coming at us in 25, 30 years, maybe ever. It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
The Trump administration has been intensely criticized for its response to Hurricane Maria, but it's not the first time Mr. Trump has lauded his administration's response. Despite those criticisms, the president last month called the federal response to the storm fantastic. Although the focus on where Hurricane Florence makes landfall is drawing lots of attention, another looming threat could be the worst impact of this monster storm, and that's disastrous, deadly flooding from days of relentless rain. More from Doyle Rice, weather reporter at USA Today. Doyle, how about the comparisons with Hurricane Harvey from last year?
Well, the main similarity with Hurricane Harvey is that just like Harvey came ashore as a powerful Category 4, it pretty much weakened fairly rapidly and was just a tropical storm pretty soon after. But the main problem with Harvey was it just sat there and didn't move once it was over Houston. And so it just dumped several feet of rain right across the metro area there. And that's kind of, in some ways, similar to what they're thinking Florence might do. Once it does come ashore over you know, the South Carolina, North Carolina border, it's just going to get stuck right over parts of North Carolina and Virginia and just sit there and dump incredible amounts of rain. I've seen estimates of up to 30 to 40 inches of rain in the extreme over parts of North Carolina and Virginia. And what's more problematic is that there's a lot of mountainous territory, and that brings flash floods into the possibility.
Boy, and the soil's already wet, right? I mean, it's been a fairly moist summer.
Yes, some places have had their wettest summer on record already. I think Wilmington, Cape Hatteras and Norfolk are all, if they're not in it's not the rainiest summer, it's one of their rainiest. So the soil is all, just can't handle any more of this rain. So it's just gonna sit there and you can't soak in. So it'll just run off and cause flooding.
I think what we've seen too, with when the soil becomes that wet, it doesn't take too much wind out of the ordinary to then knock trees over, since there's not, I guess, good gripping for the roots.
Yeah, it's a double whammy there. You've got both the soft, weak soil, and then at the same time, especially near the coast, you'll have these strong winds, easily surpassing 100, if not more, miles per hour as the storm makes landfall. Right now, possibly a strong Category 3 or a Category 4 seems to be the good range, but that, again, is right, you know, at where it makes landfall, not necessarily inland at that level of wind speed.
Right, and the graphic that USA Today included with a couple of these stories with regards to the damage that wind can do, you know, one, maybe not so bad. You get into a Category 2, you could lose parts of your roof. Three, you're losing a good amount of your roof. And four and five, it's just like good luck with that. You know, wind speed's minimal, 130 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's when the adjective they use, the Hurricane Center uses, is catastrophic damage, where even sturdy homes can be pulled apart and power lines easily knocked over. You know, pretty much the whole infrastructure of a city or town or region can be wiped out for quite a number of weeks. We saw what happened in Puerto Rico last year when a Category 4 pretty much went from the one side of the island to the other, and it knocked out power for many people for weeks, if not months. Of course, most of the infrastructure is better here on the mainland, but it's still something that many places can't handle the Category 4 winds as far as infrastructure goes.
We're speaking with Doyle Rice, weather reporter at USA Today. What else jumped out at you as you were starting to piece all this together with regards to some of the data and maybe historic comparisons?
Yeah, North Carolina is no stranger to hurricanes. If you look at the map, it sticks out there. It's kind of a almost Hurricane Alley there. It's no stranger to big storms. They've had multiple impacts over the decades. Hurricane Hazel back in the 50s. Hurricane Hugo actually hit South Carolina and then did some more damage in North Carolina in 1989. And you go back to other ones like Floyd and Fran and even more recently Irene. They've all, if not made landfall in North Carolina, have caused tremendous inland flooding in North Carolina. And that's probably, again, what's going to be the big problem with Florence.
Thanks, Doyle. Doyle Rice, weather reporter at USA Today. 14 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. President Trump marked the anniversary of the 9/11 terrorist attacks by warning that the U.S. will protect itself from tyranny and evil. Speaking near Shanksville, Pennsylvania, at a newly finished memorial to Flight 93, Mr. Trump pledged that the U.S. will take bold steps to guard against terrorist threats. The president invoked the Flight 93 passengers and crew who fought back against hijackers as heroic examples of American resolve.
We're here to pay solemn tribute to the 40 passengers and crew members on Flight 93 who rose up, defied the enemy, took control of their destiny, and changed the course of history.
On the 17th anniversary, he recounted how the passengers voted among themselves to battle the hijackers after learning through phone calls of other attacks that morning. Those actions kept the terrorists that took over the jet from reaching their suspected target in Washington, D.C., all 44 people aboard the United Airlines flight, which left New Jersey en route to California, died when the plane crashed in a rural Pennsylvania field. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is here with more of America's First News.
Vernon coastal residents fleeing a potentially devastating blow from Hurricane Florence encountered empty gas pumps and depleted store shelves as the monster storm nears the Carolina coast with 140 mile per hour winds and drenching rain that could last for days. While some say they plan to stay put despite hurricane watches and warnings that include the homes of more than 5.4 million people on the East Coast, many aren't taking any chances. This Nags Head resident is heeding the warnings.
This one looks bad. It looks really bad. And with us only living two blocks from the beach, you know, with the storm surge, not happy with that.
A steady stream of vehicles full of people and belongings continue to flow inland. The Navy is moving people and ships ahead of the hurricane, and the Air Force and Army are both flying advanced aircraft elsewhere as a safeguard. According to just-released budget documents, the Trump administration took nearly $10 million from the Federal Emergency Management Agency's budget this summer to help boost immigration and customs enforcement. The figures were revealed by Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley on MSNBC.
Just as hurricane season is starting, because it generally starts June 1st, the administration is working hard to find funds for additional detention camps. And, of course, this is all part of the child separation policy.
Based on what happened last year with hurricanes, Merkley calls the transfer of money incredibly irresponsible. Cardinal Donald Wuerl, the Archbishop of Washington, D.C., says he will soon travel to Rome to discuss his resignation with Pope Francis, laying the groundwork for the exit of one of the highest officials in the U.S. Catholic Church as it tries to deal with a growing sexual abuse scandal. The end of Wuerl's career as Archbishop of Washington would mark a new phase in this year's crisis, with accountability moving toward those who covered up abuse, not just those who committed it. Apple is expected to showcase three new iPhones today, including its biggest and most expensive model yet. Most of the buzz is about a rumored iPhone that's supposed to have a 6.5-inch OLED screen, up from 5.8 inches on the existing iPhone X. Wall Street is targeting a price of $1,049 or $1,099 versus the current $999 price for the iPhone X. A second phone with a 5.8-inch OLED display would be similar to the iPhone X, but with an improved processor.
That one with the 6.5-inch OLED, they're just simply calling a television.
I know, it's a big one.
For your purse or back pocket, fanny pack.
I don't think it'll fit in your pocket.
Thanks, Jen. It's 23 minutes now after the hour. Glad you're with us. As millions of Americans along the East Coast prepare their homes and properties for Florence's arrival, they should also be preparing their finances, something most Americans are not good at preparing for. What to keep in mind from Dave Hanley, CEO of Tomorrow, an app that helps you with planning for things like life insurance, living wills, and trusts. Dave, give us guidance.
Well, it's very clear that these hurricanes, as we all know, wreck a lot of havoc. But the average hurricane is $1.8 billion in damage. And this one appears to be above average. So it's time to really get our acts together.
Boy, that number is commercial and residential, that encompasses everything?
I believe it's an all-up number, so that's commercial and government. For instance, Hurricane Harvey last year was $125 billion. So it's definitely time to make sure that your insurance and saving and legal documents are all in place.
Wow. So as you know, and as FEMA has said, we have this culture of unpreparedness in this country. What do you recommend folks do?
Well, this month is National Preparedness Month, so I think September is a great time to get your act together. You know, the real areas where I think you should focus on is around insurance, around having an emergency fund, and then having a legal will in place, and then really also just making sure that you have documentation on what property you own. Now, when it comes to the insurance side, you know, these policies are very long and they are very boring to read. But it's really important to read them, at least start with the summaries, but then dig down and find out if you're covered for hurricanes, for floods, and rainfall. Because, unfortunately, all three of those things are even treated differently. Rain that rises from the ground up, rain that falls from the sky down, and rain that goes sideways are all three different things in the insurance world. So it's good to read and make sure that you have what you need.
Wow. Or at the very least, make a phone call and have perhaps an agent or some other expert explain it to you?
Exactly. That is a great and wise call.
Wow. We're speaking with Dave Hanley, finance expert and CEO of an app called Tomorrow, which helps planning with things like wills, living trusts, and life insurance. We're talking about finances ahead of Hurricane Florence. In one of the bullet points here, it talks about strategizing about big savings, but not sweating the small stuff. What do you mean?
Well, when it comes to savings, it's important to set goals, and so a lot of us we're told to generally save, but we often don't save for it with real intent. So we should be saving for college and should be saving for retirement, but those are often 10, 15, 30 years away. And so we are big believers at Tomorrow at setting goals, which you can do inside of our app. And then start down the process of saving and investing for your future. Now, when it comes to the small stuff, unfortunately, we eat away at our potential savings with every coffee that we buy and every little decision that we make.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Hanley, CEO of the app called Tomorrow. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You don't often find the words business and friendly in the same sentence, let alone the same state. Unless, of course, you're talking about Michigan. Michigan's business-friendly practices help them become a leader in industries that range from agriculture and cybersecurity to aerospace and advanced manufacturing. In fact, Michigan is ranked among the top 10 states for major new and expanded facilities, which makes Michigan more than business-friendly. It makes Michigan business smart. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
At Dell, we know running a small business takes hard work. As a thank you, during the Dell annual sale, we're offering up to 40% off select PCs with Intel Core processors and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with a small business technology advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Special financing available to qualified business customers when using Dell Business Credit. Go to dell.com/dbcpromos for details.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, September 12. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines, the Carolinas and Virginia. Brace for storm surge and flooding from Hurricane Florence. The woman who helped kidnap Elizabeth Smart is being released from prison. Apple unveils its latest products today. Boxing legend Oscar De La Hoya says he's running for president in 2020. Red Sox first team to clinch a playoff spot. USA beat Mexico 1-0 in a soccer friendly that was not that friendly. And the fast food worker who's gone viral for how he took care of a blind couple. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Salon Pause Lidocaine Plus Pain Relievers. Hurricane Florence is threatening deadly pounding surf, days of torrential rain, and severe flooding with a direct hit on North Carolina. As she churns closer to shore, fierce winds and massive waves are expected to announce her arrival along the coasts of North and South Carolina and Virginia, even before landfall early Friday. How is coastal Virginia preparing for Florence? We're joined now by Bob Matthews, news anchor for AM 790 WNIS in Norfolk, one of our affiliates. He's with us live. Bob, good morning. Take us through what you're expecting in your area.
Well, Gordon, overnight we really got some relatively speaking good news in that it looks like Florence has, the forecast models have turned a little bit more to the south. So what coastal Virginia is looking at now is not so much a huge amount of wind and rain, but what our concerns are is tidal flooding. Even though when you talk about the storm surge, the storm is so big, it's still going to push a lot of water from the Atlantic up into the Chesapeake Bay. That water will flow into the rivers and tributaries that we have here, and so we are expecting, we are still expecting a lot of tidal flooding. And what can complicate it is how long Florence decides to meander at or near the coast.
Yeah, I know you have a lot of tributaries in that area, mm-hmm. Norfolk, Virginia Beach. So that will mean what for, say, how many residents and buildings in that region?
Well, that's the problem. We're not sure. Governor Ralph Northam ordered a mandatory evacuation of low-lying areas here. Last year, the Virginia Department of Emergency Management had put out new flood zone maps, so everyone in what is now termed Flood Zone A was told they needed to evacuate yesterday starting at 8 a.m., and we're just here to wait and see. We're kind of hoping for the best and expecting the worst.
Yeah. Navy ships have been sent out right from Norfolk?
They have. About 30 of them left the two large Navy bases here, both Naval Station, Norfolk Naval Station, as well as another base we have, the Little Creek Amphibious Base. So about 30 ships are riding out the storm. We also have a number of ships that are having to remain in port because of scheduled maintenance, and they're having to make their storm preparations while either still moored to the docks or, sitting there in the harbor.
Yeah. Has the Norfolk area gone through this in recent memory?
Yeah, we get several close brushes with storms every few years, it seems like. Most of the damage and the direct impacts we get are actually, ironically, in the wintertime with nor'easters. But, yeah, we're only about 60 or 70 miles from the Outer Banks. You hear about Kitty Hawk, North Carolina a lot in this storm coverage. We're about an hour from there. So we tend to not see the worst of the storms because they usually recurve out to sea. But like the rest of, like the Carolinas, what's unusual about this is Florence is expected, instead of making that sharp right-hand turn and going out, we are expecting the storm to come inland. And up until about noon yesterday, we were talking here about hurricane-force winds, which we really haven't seen in a storm probably since about 2003.
Wow. We're speaking live this morning with Bob Matthews. He's news anchor at AM 790 WNIS in Norfolk, Virginia, talking about coastal Virginia's preparations for Hurricane Florence. Have you seen runs at hardware stores and things like that?
Oh, yeah. The grocery stores have been nuts around here, and the hardware stores. Yep, everybody's buying up all the sandbags that they can, and the usual run on bread and milk for some unknown reason. Everybody definitely needs the bread and milk whenever we get a threat of a hurricane.
How will the radio station handle this? You guys got cots just in case, things like that?
Fortunately, we are in downtown Norfolk, and within walking distance, even if you get flooding, is a very nice Sheraton. So we're all going to kind of camp out there for a couple of days, and we can walk over here to the studios. We're on the fifth floor, so I think we're probably pretty immune from the flooding up here. At least we hope so.
Very good. Hey, thanks for sharing a few minutes. It was nice talking to you. Bob Matthews, news anchor at 790 WNIS in Norfolk, Virginia. It is 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you're like me, there are a few more difficult words to spell correctly the first time around than Cincinnati. Perhaps as an East Coast native, you might be able to forgive me for needing Microsoft spell check to help me out of a jam when trying to spell the name of the Queen City once in a while. But you would think that the Ohio Department of Transportation would be a lot better at it. Not the case, apparently, as the department apparently put up a new sign in Columbus, Ohio, directing drivers to Interstate 71 South if they'd like to travel to Cincinnati. ODOT said the contractor has been ordered to replace the sign, but the process of obtaining the sign could take up to 2 months, with additional weeks required for installation. The department said the replacement sign was ordered shortly after it was installed on July 30th, which means the sign had gone largely under the radar for a month before it went viral this week, thanks to a post on Reddit.
Wow, a month.
That's kind of strange. And that they had it in their possession. They were putting it up, and it wasn't until after it was installed, then all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, we spelled it wrong.
Nobody, oh my goodness.
Along the lines, there was no quality control to catch that before.
Holy cow. And then motorists who were observing this.
Yes.
Either didn't care.
Right.
Themselves don't know how to spell Cincinnati.
Possible.
Or just thought, oh, this will be taken care of tonight.
It's
far too obvious of a mistake to overlook.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure somebody noticed it, but I guess, finally they brought it to social media's attention.
Wow.
So there we go.
Social media to the rescue.
It's going to take like 2 or 3 months to get it changed, it looks like.
Well,
2 months for it
it's
to show up. And
it's government work, of course.
Exactly.
Yeah, why would you fix that overnight?
At great cost to taxpayers,
right.
I'm sure.
Yippee! Overtime work. Let's head to the sign-fixing place on the highway.
That's right. And, Gordon, if the Popo want the kids on the street to swear down. They should take careful notice. Police officers in one city in England have compiled a list of street slang in a bid to teach officers how to decipher youth language. According to The Telegraph, the list, scrawled on a whiteboard, explains that Stormzy is a rapper from Croydon as opposed to being concerned with meteorology. Also, GOAT stands for the greatest of all time, and FOMO is fear of missing out. A photograph of the whiteboard was posted on Twitter by a police officer from Lancashire and has since gone viral. Other translations include popo or feds, which means police, and swear down, which means tell the truth. Also guap, which means wad of cash, and streets, which means bullets. While some found the whiteboard training to be humorous, experts who train police on how to understand gangs say that it's necessary to understand how young people speak if you want to better serve your community.
Popo.
Yes, which is one you would have thought they would have known already.
Well, right.
We're talking about police officers here.
You listen to country music, and you know Dirks Bentley sings the song 5150, Somebody Call the Popo.
Right.
Like you should be aware of that.
I mean, that one's been around for a while. I mean, I'm pretty sure I was a teenager. That one was kind of being bandied around. So yeah, that's not a new one.
Stormzy,
yeah.
The rapper.
Yeah, not concerned with tonight's weather.
Not
forecast.
An aspiring meteorologist.
Nope.
All of our rappers here, I feel now these days, are Lil yeah. somebody, Lil Mike, Lil Dave, Lil Gordon. Everybody's Lil something.
Yes.
L-I apostrophe L. Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well with the username at Gordon Deal. Some parents make it their job to help their kids land a job, and that can kill the prospects for the kid. Andrea Boyer, chief talent officer at Kairos Ventures, told Moneyish.com about a candidate who was a college grad with a few years of experience, showed up on time, well prepared for his interview, and she was ready to move him further into the process when his mother called to check in on the status of his application. After advocating for her son by telling the recruiter what a good boy he was and that she still packs a lunch for her son, Ms. Boyer said the mom began to push for an offer, even asked when her son's employment would begin. Here comes the shocker. He didn't get the job. This is not an isolated incident, by the way. According to a survey of more than 600 senior managers by a company called Office Team, hiring managers have seen everything from a parent who asked if she could do the interview for her child because he was going to be out of town, to one parent who tried to demand a higher salary for his son. It is 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, Hurricane Florence is expected to bring a life-threatening storm surge and rainfall to parts of the Carolinas and mid-Atlantic states, with the center of the storm expected to hit the coast of North Carolina or South Carolina tomorrow and Friday. North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper says this is an extremely dangerous major hurricane.
Even if you've ridden out storms before, this one is different. Don't bet your life on riding out a monster.
The storm is about 625 miles southeast of Cape Fear, North Carolina, and is packing maximum sustained winds of 140 miles an hour. Catastrophic floods could follow if the storm stalls inland. President Trump praised the federal response to Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico as he met with top Department of Homeland Security and FEMA officials yesterday to address the looming threat of Hurricane Florence. Asked what lessons could be learned from Puerto Rico, Trump called the government's response to that devastating storm an unsung success.
I actually think it was one of the best jobs that's ever been done with respect to what this is all about. Puerto Rico got hit not with one hurricane, but with two.
The governor of Puerto Rico recently revised the death toll as a result of that storm from 64 to 2,975. Many residents were without power for months. Russian President Vladimir Putin said today that two men Britain suspects of poisoning former spy Sergei Skripal with military-grade nerve agent are not criminals and have been identified as civilians. Speaking at an economic forum, Putin said they are civilians, of course, apparently responding to a claim by British authorities that the two suspects are members of Russia's military intelligence agency. The war against hunger is moving in the wrong direction. According to a new UN report, the number of people around the world who aren't getting enough to eat is up for the third year in a row. The report finds that 821 million people were undernourished last year. That's 6 million more undernourished people than in 2016. Remember when you used to pack up your axe and head to the forest to chop down your specially selected Christmas tree? Well, you can forget about all that this year, since Amazon plans to sell and ship fresh, full-size Christmas trees. It says the trees, including Douglas firs and Norfolk Island pines, will be bound and shipped without water within 10 days of being cut.
I think Amazon has now officially gone too far.
Jumped the shark.
Yeah. You can't be chopping down our trees for us. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. A worker at a Wendy's restaurant in New Mexico is being praised for going the extra mile to ensure that a blind couple enjoyed their meal. A fellow customer was so moved by the worker's kindness that she shared the story on social media, where it has since struck a heartstring with many. Fox News says Cindy Griswold shared photos on Facebook of the scene she witnessed Sunday at a Wendy's in Albuquerque. She wrote, "So this Wendy's employee took care of these two blind customers with so much love. He didn't do it because it's part of his job. He did it because he wanted to help from the bottom of his heart." Ms. Griswold continued by saying he made sure the table was in a good spot, and he carried the sodas, straws, napkins, ketchup, and of course he placed the food in the right order so they knew whose sandwich was in front of them. She concluded with, "We need more Richards in this world." KRQE Television identified the staffer as Richard Wise Atwood, who told the outlet that in the moment he had no idea his photo was even being taken. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.